It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Johnson.
Yep.
Billy, this here is Roy Mercer. I was talking to the folks down to the rent-a-car place,
yep.
and they gave me your number. I had left some pictures in a rent-a-car, and they saying that there was a possibility that you probably got them.
Say that again?
I left some pictures of my wife, kind of bedroom photos of my wife in a rent-a-car.
Yeah.
And they said that you probably would have had them.
No, I don't have them. I haven't seen them.
Well, I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because they said that you might be the one that would have them, and I don't know. They say they can't find them, and they're naked pictures of her. And I thought that you might have just got hold of them and using them for yourself.
Sir, I don't know enough what we're talking about, but...
They said that you tend to collect things that people leave in the rental cars.
Who said this that I did it?
They said that down to the rental place. And I just,
well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't click pictures.
I just come by and get them from you and wouldn't have anything, any problems with you if you just give them back to me. Because otherwise, it might just be an ass whooping.
A what?
Or an ass whooping.
Well, come on out here and whip it.
Well, I might do that.
I'm right here. Come on out here.
How big a boy are you?
Well, I'm 6'3".
I'd be
215 pounds.
Well, I'll be on you like a fat girl on a french fry. Because I'd Oh, no.
Hello?
Hey, Billy, this is Roy again. I found them pictures of my wife that I thought you took. I found them in an old envelope I had with a picture. Actually, it's a naked picture of Andy Oatman in there, too.
I don't know him.
I wouldn't claim to know him either. He's kind of bent over a big old 55-gallon barrel.
He drives one of them funny-looking little cars, right?
And that may have been his little car. It had four wheels on it.
The barrel?
Yeah. It was one of them little silver barrels. It could have been a car.
I think he's got three wheels, one in front and two behind.
Like a tricycle.
Yeah, well, it may be his ass I need to whoop then.
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Yeah. I'm going to be on him like chili grease on a wedding dress there, Billy.
That's getting pretty slick.
Well, now, why would Andy want us to call up and pull your leg?
I don't have a two.
I think we may have the middle one. I'm not sure.
Well, it's too small to grab hold of.
I don't believe I'd have told that.
All right, one more little Randy Artie Mercer and naked pictures, they call that one. Hey, it's Craig with the Outdoor Show. Welcome to my show. It is Saturday in the real world, and so just gonna talk a little bit today about some fun boating stuff we did and some plans for the upcoming hunting season, some tips maybe and so forth. But I wanted to talk about, and I might even read it. There's a if you missed it, there was a good article, a really good article by Jack Barnwell with the Newsminer on our business closing, Compos closing after 80 years. So, I thought a lot of people called and really liked the article. I don't know if you didn't get it. I was going to just read it because it's kind of interesting to me anyway, and it's I like anything to do with historical Fairbanks stuff, and I think we were part of that. The headline is... after 80 years, Compos closes its doors. And there's a picture of our showroom and some pictures of the shop. And it just talks a little bit about stuff like that. But I'll read it, so bear with me here. It says, after nearly 80 years and four generations, the iconic Fairbanks Marine and Power Sports establishment has been sold. Craig Compo announced the sale of Compos, Inc. to Delta Power Sports Fairbanks and closed the doors May 31st. A one-time final sale of all goods was held Friday, and that was the 11th of July, which I'll talk about that, too, in a minute. It was huge. Absolutely huge, as Trump would say. Quote, we've really had a good run for almost 80 years, Compo told Newsminer on Wednesday. However, he's now 65 years old, and neither of his daughters expressed interest in taking over the reins. They're doing their own thing, so there is no viable handoff, he said. At 65, it's time to do something different. Compo also cited difficulty in hiring people, a challenge he said several Fairbanks businesses have struggled with over the past 4 years. I want to stop for a minute. And that is true. I had a good crew, but it's hard to find new help when you need it, especially young people that are motivated to work and move up the chain. I found that in the last, since COVID at least, it's really gotten more difficult. But anyway, I said, quote, I've had some really great people work here, but it's a struggle to find new help, Compo said. Compo's is the second oldest family-owned business in Fairbanks after Wilbur Brothers Sheet Metal, which opened in 1914. And I thought it was 1921 they opened, but I guess I was wrong there. The segment built on innovation. Bob Compo Sr., who had a passion for the outdoors, launched the business in 1945. His wife, Helen, had won a Chevy coupe in a church raffle in Everett, Washington, and decided to sell the vehicle and move their family to Alaska. My grandfather had always dreamed of Alaska and loved to hunt and fish, Compo said. When that opportunity came up, he immediately sold the car and moved up to Alaska. Initially, a machinist by trade working at Ladd Airfield, Bob Compo developed and produced several outboard motor lift designs for boats that allowed Alaskans to navigate shallow rivers for hunting, fishing, and exploration. The Compo family provided financing to help California-based Specialty Manufacturing get off the ground in 1960. That company went on to design the outboard jet, enabling boats to operate in just 3 inches of water compared to the standard 10 or 12 inches. Compo began carrying and selling snow machines in the 60s. Craig Compo started full-time at the store in 1978, the day after graduating from high school. I jokingly told my friends I was going to attend the U of C, University of Compos, he said. I liked working around boats and motors and snow machines. It's hard work, but it's a fun industry. In the late 90s, Craig designed and tested the Phantom Sport John, a tunnel-hull inboard jet that became Alaska's bestseller. He created other innovative designs over the years as well. The business grew to become one of Alaska's largest retailers of Ski-Doo snow machines, Can-Am side-by-sides. Let's see. Continued on C4. And it received the national... Oh, yeah, this is good. I'm kind of proud of this. It received the National Dealership Award from BRP after competing with 500 Ski-Doo dealers across the country. I think it's a lot more than 500, actually. Compo prided itself on a long history of repeat customers with primary market area, including Fairbanks and hundreds of rural villages. It's usually an industry where customers are in a good mood when they show up, and we try to keep them in a good mood, Compo said. He noted that both customers and technology have changed over the years. In the early days, people would often give up riding snow machines as they got older due to the rough ride. That changed in the early 2000s with the introduction of improved suspension systems. The modern machines are like riding on air, so people who had back, knee, or mobility issues, like me, could ride in extreme comfort, whereas they used to have to soak in a hot tub after a six-hour ride, he said. Innovations in fuel economy and engine design have also significantly extended the effective range of snow machines and side-by-sides. They've made them cleaner and more fuel-efficient, Compo said. The technology has made the lifespan of recreational riding longer. Compo said the business maintained a casual work culture even in its sales approach, and that is true. I told my employees years ago to treat everyone like your hunting partner or boating partner. Be casual, laid back, no pressure, he said. The worst thing for a customer, other than being ignored, was being hounded on the showroom floor. He said customers want to feel comfortable when making a purchase, which can range from $5,000 to $50,000. We can actually go higher than that. The best thing we could do was be super knowledgeable about the product and be honest and low pressure, Compo said. My dad told me once, we don't need a sale for the sake of a sale. It works because you have repeat business. Guy buys a snowmobile, has a great time, has a good experience. In the summer, he'll be looking for a four-wheeler or boat. Compo says he plans to stay active and pursue other endeavors. I'm not hopping in a rocking chair anytime soon, he said. I've got a lot on my plate I want to do. Politics is not on the list. He's ruled out running at any level because it can ruin friendships or create animosity. A new outdoor equipment business is also off the table due to a non-compete agreement. I've got a lot of stories I want to write a book about, a lot of other stuff I want to do. I've got some patents I want to pursue that I've not had time to do, and I want to stay involved in this industry. Anyway, that was the story. that was in the Sunday edition last Sunday, the 13th of the Newsminer. And kudos to Jack Barnett, Barnwell. He did a good job, called and interviewed me on the phone. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was a nice story. I had a lot of really positive feedback on it. So that was good. We had a massive garage sale blowout on the 11th of July there. That was Friday, about a week ago, a little over a week ago. And we had like 40 people lined up at the front door when we opened the doors. And it opened to the general public at 12 and our VIP customers at 10. And I think by 10:45, we'd sold half of everything in there. We had 15 tables full of stuff. We had some leftover snow machines, four-wheelers. We had parts and accessories, tires, tracks, Ski-Doo, complete Ski-Doo engines, all kinds of stuff like that. So we're probably, and so that was open and shut. We've now kind of closed officially. You know, we were closed before that, but we just did a one-day opening. And we may centralize our remaining stuff and just do an invite only. You know, you can, but it's not going to be little stuff. It'll all be bigger ticket, you know, complete engines or tracks or stuff like that. We'll have maybe a one-day final preview, and you could pick some of that up. We'll let you know about that. But that saves putting it on eBay or Marketplace and just giving the locals a good chance to get a killer deal. We had, like, snow machine tracks, new ones, for $50, $100, $150. We have four-wheeler tires. We still have some at $50 a piece, brand spanking new, you know, a fraction of the price of new ones. I might wind up, I'm not going to give it away. I think we're going to have just like a two-hour sale at some point down the road. We'll just get the bigger ticket stuff aside and knock it out. But, yeah, we do have a non-compete agreement, so it was an agreement between the buyer that we can kind of close out the stuff we've got that was non-current stuff that they didn't take. So, anyway, that's kind of where we're going with that. what else is going on? I want to talk in the back half of the show about a kind of a fundraiser prank I did. I'll talk about that in a bit. And I also wanted to talk about a little fishing, some fishing we did and some hunting coming up in August. Just some buddies that are coming up. I really enjoy this August, September time frame. I just basically mentally check out from the middle of August to the middle of September, get away, pretty much live on the river. Might come back to town for some supplies or to pick some people up, but I just love it. I just love getting on the river. If you've not really experienced, and you know, you can go up and down the Chena, the lower Chena, and to me, that's, you know, I'm almost embarrassed to take people out when they come into town. They want to go for a quick boat ride. I mean, it's convenient, but it's just, it's so nice when you get up where there's no people, no houses, maybe just a few cabins, but you see the moose and the eagles and the beavers and the caribou and just, it's just, I don't know, there's something about it. It's just rejuvenating. The difference, like, between going to the lake, there's a lot of people out skiing and everything. The scenery is kind of that same thing. And it's nice to get out and take the grandkids tubing and stuff. But for me, there's something extremely therapeutic about every bend of the river is could have something different around the corner. You could see a wolf. You could see a moose. You could see a fish rolling. You could see a boat high and dry. But, you know, it's just kind of, it's one of those things. It's nice. It's just absolutely therapy for me. The further you go, the better. The further up the river, the further away. It's just, there's something about it. I don't know. It's hard to describe, but it's just peaceful. And to sit on the riverbank and just sit there and drink a beer and listen to the water go by. No other noises, maybe just a few birds chirping. It's just nice. You know what I mean? It's just, there's something about it. I love being on the river. I was down at Chitna last week. Went for our crazy quick turnaround where you go down there and you leave at about 2 in the morning from Fairbanks, get down on the water around 7, fish, you know, till about 4. And then get in the car and come back. You know, you take turns driving because everybody's tired. And I never put my hand on a net this year. I just drove the boat, which I like to do. And it was kind of slow. We started after about 2 hours. We only had 14 fish. Didn't sound like a lot, but then it picked up really good. And guys limited out. So that was good. And the weather was nice. And there wasn't too many people there. I went last year, and it was amazing. It was just two of us, and we limited out. And it was, there wasn't, the water was so low, most people couldn't get their boats in at the landing. And we never saw another boat for 7 hours of fishing. We were the only ones on it, just pulling them in one after the other. It was really pretty cool. So anyway, we'll be back after this break. So stick around, and we'll be back at the Compo Outdoor Show.
The Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is, yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, we're back. Ran a little long the first half, but that was fun talking about Shop Talk, the old the article in the Newsminer from the 11th about closing our business. Talked a little bit about Chitna. I've had some good fishing trips. Was down at Pelican this year. It's kind of nice. A little retired. You get a little more window to go play without having to race back to the shop to cover for somebody, whatever. But anyway, that's what it is. You know, I had a I went to school with Dave Prues, our mayor and local disc jockey here, Problem Corner host and Fairbanks Foodies and all that, which is coming up next, so stick around for that. But anyway, Dave and I graduated in 78, so we're pretty close, been around for a long time. Dave asked me to host a little fundraiser lunch for him, get a few guys together, and I hate asking people for money. I do. I don't like that part of politics, but it's a necessary evil, you know. You have to do it. If you think about it, you know, Dave's running for re-election for city mayor. I'm supporting him in that. A lot of people here are. A lot of listeners are. But Dave is like the furthest thing from woke. His opponent, yeah, not so much. His opponent spent borough taxpayer dollars for a conference in Canada, flew to Canada on Fairbanks FNSB borough dollars to go to a prevent hate building and social cohesion seminar. Let me repeat that. Prevent hate and building social cohesion. You got to fly to Canada. There's not a you know, a Zoom call, you could go to that. You've got to get on an airplane, fly, stay in a hotel, eat. You know, I think it was in Vancouver, which is like one of the most expensive places to eat in the world, eat and drink and live. Anyway, you know, between that and some of the stuff the borough's doing, the $33 million animal shelter, puppy palace, they call it, a $4 million warm-up shack, you know, up at Birchill. They're spending money to study a scoping plan for a generator for that instead of just somebody knowing what they're doing and buying a generator for it. But it's just ridiculous. You got an $8 million budget deficit with the borough. Now, compare that to Prue's in the city. Yeah, different dynamics and all that stuff, sure, but surplus, you know, and he's done some good things. You know, we used to spend a ridiculous amount of money on overtime plowing snow, and we never got the job done. It seems like the snow is getting plowed faster, the potholes being filled. So some of the efficiencies there are good. I like some of the other stuff, more like a businessman would think of it, you know, like hiring incentives. You don't just pay them all up front, you know, you get them as you stick around. Recruitment, innovative recruitment policy, things like that. These are things that a good conservative leader, like a businessman, have to do. You have to make a budget. You can't just turn up the tax dial and like the borough does and just more. And so kudos to Prues for that. But so I wanted to tell you a practical joke I did. So I was tasked to put on a fundraiser, have a few guys up for lunch, you know, maybe write a check, have Dave up there. But I didn't do that. I did something a little different. And I don't know if they love me or hate me about it, but I had about 20 people show up at the Greens, and I had sent out a text to about 30 of my friends and saying, hey, have you had the burger up at the Greens? It's fantastic. I'd like to buy you one, and I've got a little announcement to make. So 12:30 on Tuesday at the Greens. Well, I had about an 80%. People showed up. Now, if I told them it was a fundraiser, it probably been about 20%. I didn't tell them that. And Prues was one of the guests there, and we had a whole bunch of good local folks. I mean, good people. You know most of them. They've been around forever, but good people, good hearty Republicans. And so I got there, and I started my speech, and I talked about the wasteful borough spending. I talked about, as a businessman that I just retired, one of the reasons was it was getting more difficult to be successful and thrive because of restrictions and costs and stuff because of the borough. And anyway, I went on to that, and then I kind of teased it a little bit. I said, you know, I'm retired now. I said, maybe I should throw my hat in the political ring. You know, maybe borough assembly, hell, maybe a state or Senate seat, maybe governor. And I said, actually, is that a possibility? Absolutely not. I would never get into politics. I have no interest in that whatsoever. I have an interest in it, but not in running and maybe supporting good conservative candidates. And that's what that's kind of how I spilled the beans that this was actually a fundraiser for Prues. I let him speak a little bit, and we raised a few bucks, so it was good. Some of the guys were like, ah. But some people thought I was going to announce I was either getting married, I had cancer, they didn't know what they were interested to find out. I'm starting a new business. What's going on with Compo? Hey, what's going on? It was all big buzz before it. So then they found out they were at a fundraiser. You know, and the problem is that'll only work once. Next time I do it, nobody will show. So I don't think I'll do that again, but I had to do it once. I did it for my buddy Dave. And listen, if you are one of the people that supports less government, more efficient government, smaller government, cleaning up the town, doing more with less. I think he's probably pretty good at that. You know, I mean, nobody's perfect. There's a lot of things, you know, people will have heartache with something Dave did or something he sponsored, thinking it's a waste of money with, you know, but there's not much of that. Most of it is when the government is angry because they're angry because, you know, the government isn't covering this or spending that. It's usually because there's a good reason. We can't afford it. And that's the reason. So anyway, I did want to mention, though, if you have an interest in contributing to Prues's campaign, you can do that. You know, I'm sure Dave would appreciate anything, 10, 20, 50, 100 bucks, whatever you can afford. But there's a website, reelectdavidprues.com, and you can donate. There's an online place to donate. So anyway, if you appreciate his efforts, you know, it's not easy. You get beat up a lot. You know, you go to city council meetings, you've got people screaming at you, and why don't you cover this? And you know, there's lots of needs in this town, but it all boils down to what can we afford? Can you really afford it? And that's why it's nice to see a little bit more business-like approach to government leadership as opposed to the borough. I just am not a big fan of our borough mayor and most of the borough assembly. Like I said, these woke policies that just cost a lot of money. We could take this woke money, like flying out to this hate conference, and how many people could that have helped homeless folks? How many people at the soup kitchen, extra money that could be directed more to the problems we have here? The problems we have here are not social cohesion and hate. You don't need to spend thousands of dollars to go to a conference. And like I said, this was in Vancouver, Canada. I think a glass of wine there is $20. A hotel room is probably $400. I would be really interested to see what Prus's opponent spent borough money on that, just on that one trip, let alone a lot of these other. They travel a lot. There's a lot of travel. There's a lot of waste. They're $8 million backwards this year. And guess what? It's probably going to – they tried to circumvent the property tax with a bunch of shenanigans down there. You basically have just a couple of conservatives on the board, and everybody else is, yeah, is, you know, what Margaret Thatcher once said about socialism, which is where this borough is heading. What did she say? My favorite Margaret Thatcher quote is about spending other people's money, and I forget how it goes right now. But that's the thing about socialism. It's fine, you know, until you run out of other people's money. And that's what we're doing. So anyway, that's my little rant today. So I do support Prus. He's going to be on the show next with Fairbanks Foodies. I promised him I wouldn't tell anything that would upset your stomach before it. Talking about the borough may have done that, so I'm sorry, Dave. But the borough is they're out of control. This spending has got to stop. We got to turn this around. You got to get out. You know, we had such a poor turnout on voters. Look what we got. We got a bunch of ultra libs in there just willing to spend money on stuff we don't need. Fingernail polish for poodles in a puppy palace, $33 million. $4 million. $4 million for a warm-up shelter at Birchill. I wonder what City Hall cost to build when it was new here. I'm sure it was way less than $4 million. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, that's just another one of my rants. Last thing I want to talk about is coming up, looking forward to August. The middle of August is hunting season starts, caribou season. I got my friend Kenny Broker coming up to hunt. I got old Daisy and his son. Daisy is a friend of mine from Wisconsin. He's 87. He's come up for many years, and all year long he walks to try and keep in shape for this moose hunting trip. And it was funny, last year was the first year in probably 30 years I didn't get a moose. Our group did not get a moose. We've hunted on the Toke River, the Good Pasture, a lot of other places, but it was sparse this year. We saw a bull. It was a little too far, about 800 yards, and it was we didn't get a shot, and we were trying to call it in, but just didn't see a lot of moose last year. But Daisy sat on the riverbank, got up at 6 in the morning, sat on the riverbank down on the lower river, and when we came back, he had a moose hanging there, and I was like, oh, man, that is great. 87 years old and still comes up and tries to get a moose every year. He's from Wisconsin. He's a cheesehead. He's a great guy. And anyway, he's going to stay with us at the house there when he comes up. Him and his son are coming up for hunting season. And he's just looking forward to sitting on that log on the riverbank and waiting for that moose to come out. So kudos to old Daisy. One last thing. Larry Hannison is in critical condition. Larry runs the TVSA gun shooting club there. So keep your prayers out for Larry. He's a wonderful man. Unfortunate situation coming up. We'll try and keep you updated on that, but put a prayer in for Larry Hannison. He's at FMH, and he's in pretty rough shape. All right, this is Craig with the Outdoor Show. Thanks for tuning in. See you on Saturday.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.